Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us here into your presence. We thank you for, as we worshiped, Jesus, you will never fail. And oh, how reassuring that is. That you will never fail in your work, and you will never fail in making us into a bride without blemish. Yet you keep on working on us when we, many times we might even look at ourselves and see people that are not worthy and worth it, maybe even, Lord, that you would work in us. But we thank you for you sanctify us and that you cleanse us with the washing of the water, the word of God, that you may make us a bride without blemish for you. And we thank you also, not only do you not fail, but you're also greater, you are stronger. And if our God is with us, then who can stand against us? So Lord, help us realize this about you and give us boldness as we live for you. Give us courage as we live a life that satisfies you, not man, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to speak to us and that you'd open your word before us, that you would give us understanding on what it is to live for you. Lord, we ask you that you would make us closer to you on a daily basis, not something that we have to look back a year behind, but something that we continually see in our lives on a daily basis with you. Please, Lord, we ask you to continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, we read from verse 1 to 4 the first time we studied it, and that talks about collection or offering. And we talked about seven things related to that. You can listen to it online. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 16, part 1. Then from verse 5 to verse 9, that talks about God's will, God's plan, and when God changes his what we consider is our plan, but when God changes that for his will, and also opportunities that we have in serving God. And we talked about that, and you'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, part 2. If you're interested, you can listen to that. Then after that, the two times after that, we started our series of talking about people. So who is the first person we talked about? Any ideas? No ideas out there? The first person we talked, huh? Timothy, right. So we talked about Timothy. Who's the second person we talked about? That was not last Friday, because last Friday we were at the retreat, the Friday before that. Who's the second person? Apollos, very good. So we talked about two particular individuals, and their specific gift is a speaking gift. They had other gifts too, but the main one was a speaking gift that they spoke about. Today we're going to talk about two other groups. You can kind of call them three, but I'll call them two. So here he focuses on two individuals, two persons, one person at a time, and about their specific, we talked about their gifts and how God used them and how they're so amazing, so different, yet so powerful in the field, in the ministry, and in the kingdom of God. Now we're going to talk about two groups, or actually two households, or two families that are also very effective and that are powerful in the ministry, very powerful in the kingdom of God. And that's that. We start this in verse 15. And so let's start reading together. 1 Corinthians 16 from verse 15. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now here when he comes and he says, I urge you. When you say to someone, I urge you to do something, what does that mean? Huh? What? I can't hear you. Like, plead strongly, like it's important, okay? I urge you. I really urge you to do this particular thing. I urge you to study for the test so you can pass. I urge you to eat so you don't go hungry and feel weak. I urge you to get good rest. I urge you to sleep well so you can be refreshed in the morning. There's things that are important, right? So here he comes and he says, I urge you, brethren. And he talks to them, he says, you guys are my brothers in Jesus Christ. I urge you. What do you urge us? What do you urge them, Paul? He says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. He didn't say, you know Stephanas, but you know the household of Stephanas. So before he talked about two individuals, and their main ministry was speaking. Now he's going to talk about two different groups, not a person as an individual, and their gift is not speaking so much as it is serving. So whatever gift you have, God can use it for his glory. Whatever gifts you have, God can use it for his glory. We just got to look like one of these people. We got to have the heart of these people that really wants God and loves God and wants to serve God. So here he comes and he says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. So here as he's urging them, he says, what about the household of Stephanas? He says, you know the household of Stephanas. That's big. You see, some people, you have to urge them. You have to say, oh, you know, this person is really good. And then you have to, like, keep trying to prove it. You know, have you ever tried to do that, defend someone? And you, like, have the person's, like, has no clue about this person. And you're like, no, they're really good. See, they did this thing once, and then they did that thing, and they're really, really good. You know, I can vouch for them. I can vouch for them for this. And so there was a mom that came and told me, you know, you can trust my son. And I said, well, that's awesome. Good for you. But no, I can't. And she said, why? I said, because you have experience with your son. I don't. I said, so you have that experience to back it up. You've seen his life, so you can trust him. But I can't. I have to be more cautious. And she's like, you make a good point. And I was like, you make a good point too. But, you know, this is where we are not going to agree on this. You have to show a life. I said, I have to see him or see her and see their life. And then now I can trust them. Why? Because I've seen their history and what they do and how they do and the way they do things. Here he comes to the household of Stephanas. He says, I urge you, brethren. And then before he talks about what he urges them to do, he says, you know the household of Stephanas. I don't need to go into too much detail. I don't need to remind you. You know the household, what it's like. Then he comes and gives us a little bit of details. I want you to ask you, and I'd like to ask me a question. Are you known? And if the answer is yes, what are you known for? What do you think your friends or family would say about you? You know, Timothy, young guy, teenager, definitely not my age, says, let no one despise your youth. That means he's youth. I am far from youth. But the majority of you here are youth. And so he says, let no one despise your youth. But if you read in I believe, Acts 16, it's, when he came to choose Timothy to go with him, he says he had a good reputation, not from the people in the streets, but it says from the believers. So what kind of legacy would you leave behind if you were to die right now? What kind of memories would you and I leave behind if we were to leave right now, or if we were to move out of this country and never ever come back again? What kind of things is known about you? What kind of things are known about me? It makes a big difference, guys. It makes a huge difference. And I want you to know, if you think that you're not known, if you think that I am not known, I beg to differ. Because you are known and I am known. And just our life, our demeanor, our posture, the way we do things makes us very well known. You know the household of Stephanas. And I pray from my heart that if what you're famous for is not something spiritual, what you're famous for, what you're known about, is not something that has to do with the glory of God, I want you to know something is wrong. Something is wrong with your walk. Something is wrong with my walk. You know, if you're known as the cool dude or the cool girl, or, you know, that's nice. But are you known as the cool dude who loves Jesus? Or what are you known as? What am I known as? And so here he comes, and in 1 Corinthians 16:15, he comes and he says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. Then he comes and he starts talking a little bit about him, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. The first fruits of Achaia. You know what that means? Any ideas out there?
Hello.
The first fruits of Achaia. Does anyone know what Achaia is? Okay, let me start there. Achaia is a region. Corinth is in Achaia. It's a bunch of cities, and Achaia is that region. Macedonia is north of Achaia. That's another region, and that's like Philippi is part of that. So the first fruits of Achaia, that whole, all these cities put together, it's in South Greece. All these cities put together is called Achaia. It's kind of like a county, if you want to call it that. I'm not sure you could really call it that, but just something like that, that encompasses like LA County. There's Long Beach, there's other cities part of it. Orange County, you have like the city of Orange, you have Anaheim, you have Irvine. That's, think of it like that. The first fruits of Achaia, what does that mean, the first fruits of Achaia? First Christians in that whole region. The first Christians in Achaia, who are they? The household of Stephanas. Now, just a quick trivia question. Do you know who is the first person in the household of Stephanas to come to know Jesus Christ? Any ideas? The first person in the household of Stephanas to know Jesus Christ. You can yell it out loud. Who? No? Any ideas? No? Stephanas, yeah, good guess, but no. I don't know. That's a good one, though. I'll take that. Who? Any ideas out there? I'll give you a guess. It's no one knows for sure, but I think it's a pretty good guess. Open up with me to Romans chapter 16. Verse 5. Romans 16, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. That's talking about Priscilla and Aquila. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of where? Achaia, to Christ. Something happened. This household is amazing. And I wonder if your household looks like that, if my household looks like that. Like what we're going to see right now. First of all, first thing that we know about this household is that Paul thinks of them so importantly that when he talks, he says, I urge you, brethren, concerning this house. The second thing is he says this house is not some new people that I'm introducing to you, but you know the household of Stephanas. They don't need me to talk too much about them because they have a reputation for loving the Lord. And is that what your household is, and is that who you are? What you and I are known for, that we love the Lord. The third thing is that these people were the first to come, the household of Stephanas were the first people to come to know Jesus Christ as believers in that whole region that encompasses so many cities of Achaia. And the first person in them was Epaphras in the house, not Stephanas. The household of Stephanas, probably Stephanas is the father. So Epaphras is probably one of the children. He came to know Jesus Christ first. Something happened, man. Something happened when this guy came to know Jesus Christ. There was this snowball effect. It was fire, man. The guy was on fire. His life was so changed in comparison that people in his household saw him and they said, something happened in you. I want that. I want what you have. And he said, what I have is Jesus. Do people look at you and want what you have, or you just look like everyone else? Do I look like everyone else? And then his household, all of them came to know Jesus Christ. And then all of Achaia came. They are the first fruits. That means what? After the first fruit, the rest of the fruit comes. People looked at these first fruits, looked at this household, and everyone said that household, something drastic, something dramatic happened in their life. What, were they killers? No, we don't know that. You don't have to have been a murderer or a Bin Laden or a Paul that were doing all these bad things to people and then you come to know Jesus Christ so people can say, wow, there's a difference. You could be just a person who's born in church, lived in church, a goody two-shoes or whatever you want to call it, but you come to know Jesus Christ, there is a huge difference that should be noticed in your life and in my life. I really worry. I really worry when I ask people their testimony. And they come and they say, yeah, see, I was born in the church. I'm already nervous right when they say that. And I lived a life like the Bible. I knew what's in the Bible. And then one day, I just figured I should just give my life to Christ. And I gave my life to Christ. And I continued to attend church. And everything was good. Where's the change? No, see, I was good. Oh. See, I'll tell you guys a story of a guy. This guy, born in the church. I was really touched by his testimony. He came and we were sitting sharing testimonies and he wouldn't share. He's like, it's not that exciting. I was like, just share your testimony. And the guy shared his testimony. He says, I was born in the church, lived in the church. I even liked the Bible. I was attracted to the Bible. I would read the Bible. And then one time I was out talking to someone. I think he was 13 at the time, talking to someone in the field. And then I said to this person, you know that Jesus Christ is coming? You better be ready. He's coming. There's a second coming. And his friend started getting scared, I think. And then he thought about, he says, if Jesus comes right now, I'm going to hell. I know I'm fake. He says, I better do something. I better do something. And then he went home. He prayed. He gave his life to Christ. He said, and then I can't put this Bible down. I'm so in love with Christ. Yeah, that's a change. That's dramatic. To the point, he changed his life. God changed his life to the point. This guy's 13 years old. His parents would say, son, it's time to wash some dishes. They go inside and they find him reading the Bible. And so, son, it's time to go, you know, clean the house. He's reading the Bible. And they're like, this guy is messing with us. He doesn't want to do any chores. You know, what's up with this guy? They're like, are you trying to mess? He's like, no, I really am changed. I love Jesus. Your parents should notice. Your friends should notice. Everyone should notice. That's the household of Stephanas. Is there a difference in your life? Is there a difference in my life? Oh, the household of Stephanas started with Epaphras. To the household of Stephanas, and it was on. The fire kept spreading, man. That whole Achaia came to the whole region. Not their city, not their neighborhood. We're always like, oh, just tell the people. And man, if we're on fire, 11 people, 12 counting Paul, they've conquered the world, man. And we can't conquer our even own household. Guys, you know why? Because our life is no different. There's no change. It's very inconsistent. So here he comes to them. He says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Before I go there, I want to take you to a little piece about them, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16. Paul himself had baptized them. They were the first people to come to know Jesus Christ in the area. He says, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. So then some people come and take this just as an idea. Some people come and take this and say, see, that means that it is okay to baptize babies and kids that don't know Jesus Christ and are not saved. They say he baptized what? Not Stephanas, not Epaphras, but the household of Stephanas. So they come and they say that that's the case, that there were non-believers or people not old enough to be able to be believers. Well, I don't agree. And here's why. That's the part where we come to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. It doesn't say some of them devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. It says they have, the whole household, devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Have you ever seen a non-believer devotes themselves to the household of the saints? Doesn't happen. You can fake it, but to devote yourself to the household of the saints, you have to be a believer. So here he baptized the household of Stephanas. Yes, he did. But everyone in the household of Stephanas was a believer because they, not some of them, but they devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And these guys, their gift was not preaching, was not teaching. It was serving. It was ministry to the saints. But you know what they did about it? They devoted themselves. Wow. Wow. If you look at it and go into the language of it, it says they have appointed themselves to the ministry of the saints. They devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know what it means? It means this. It means there's a need in the church of God. They don't come and sit, wait for someone to announce and say, guys, we have shortage in this area. We really need help in this particular department. And then they're like, Lord, I want to be humble before you, Lord. So if someone comes and asks me, I will know it's from you. That's not what they appointed themselves. They devoted themselves. They saw a need. They didn't wait for someone to ask. And they went and they said, we need to satisfy that need because God put it on their heart. We're like, oh no, give me a sign that it's from you. God is tugging at your heart. You think that's not a sign? No, no, Lord, give me a sign, another sign. We say like the pastor said, there's this pastor in Sudan. Broke my heart when I heard it and it broke the pastor's heart. The pastor in Sudan, he said, I have Gideon's faith. He's like, what does that mean? He says, well, it means I tell them, like Gideon said, Lord, before I go and fight these people with these very few people, these 300 people that I have with me that's going to go fight this whole army, I need to know that really you're with me. He had already given him much evidence that it's him. First evidence is he actually appeared to him. It says the angel of the Lord, which in the Old Testament, when you hear the angel of the Lord, doesn't mean an angel. It means the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ himself appeared to him. And then he says, no, just okay, fine. Now it's really like serious. We're actually going to go fight. So I'm going to get this piece of cloth, all right? I want everywhere to be wet and I want it to be dry when I wake up in the morning. He wakes up. Wow. He's like, Lord, sorry, but just in case it was a coincidence. I want it to be soaked, like dripping, and everywhere dry around it tomorrow. He wakes up, and it's true. And this pastor said, I have Gideon's faith. Unless the Lord shows me, unless the Lord provides for me, I'm not serving him. And the pastor told, our pastor told this pastor in Sudan, he said, oh, that's what you have, huh? And you expect God to use you. See, we have this kind of thing. We're not the household of Stephanas. Household of Stephanas means they devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, not to their own ministry. See, we think ministry is, you ask people and say, my ministry? Really? What is your ministry? If it's your ministry, please put it in the trash because it's the Lord's ministry. It's the ministry of the saints. So the ministry of the saints, they devoted themselves, they appointed themselves, they saw a need and they put it. But also in saw a need, you need to know that they were not the kind of people that push and shove to make it to the top. That's not the kind of people that they were. They went according to the appropriate ways of their church and of their local, the order that they had. But they were there to satisfy the need that was there. They appointed themselves, they devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. When was the last time you and I devoted ourselves to anything? When was the last time we said, I'm not going to ask for anyone to ask me, to keep asking me, but Lord, I'm going to do it and not for me, but for you, Lord. When was the last time you've done that? And when was the last time you and I devoted ourselves to anything? Oh yeah, I devote myself. I can guarantee you guys, every one of us in this room has devoted ourselves to something. Maybe even just this last week. And man, we put every effort. We make sure it happens because we've devoted ourselves to that particular thing. When was the last time that that thing was actually ministry of the saints? Not my ministry, not my thing, not where I find myself, not where I'm happy, but about the serving of the Lord, ministry of the saints. What an amazing household. What an amazing household. And amazing thing, it says the household of Stephanas, there's no exceptions. Can you imagine if our church, our homes look like that? You go in there, you meet Stephanas, you know what it's going to look like. You meet the wife, you know what it's going to look like. You meet Epaphras, we know what he looks like. You meet his brothers and sisters, if he's got any, and you know that whole household is in harmony. How many of us here have a household of harmony? How many of us here as a family? We're going to talk about husband and wife hopefully tonight. If not, we're going to, this is a lot to say about husbands and wives. For those who are married, if we don't get to talk about it tonight, please. For those who are married, you better come next Friday if we don't talk about it tonight. And if you're not married and you think one day you'll be married, you better come next Friday, because that family, that husband and wife, are amazing, and that's what it should look like. But the household of Stephanas, they appointed themselves. Everyone in the household had the same mindset. How many people, how many of us, we love the Lord as the children and our parents love the Lord and we work together? No. See, they go to their meeting, I go to my meeting. They do their thing, I do my thing. How many of us have that kind of household? And if we don't, maybe some people in our household are non-believers. How many of us get on our knees and pray for them? No, see, it's my dad's problem. If only he can know Jesus, it's his problem. It's mom. She's the trouble. She yells all the time. Egyptian and Arabic moms. But when was the last time you went on your knee for your dad or mom? When was the last time that dad or mom that annoys you comes and calls you and you don't come in their face and say, "What? You don't talk to me like that. I know what it is. I can call 911 and report you to CPS. I even know what it stands for, Child Protective Services." You know, some kids do that. It's my rights. We're in America, buddy. But oh, how many of us say, "I give up everything. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to do like Paul said, I'm willing to go to hell," which is impossible as a believer. "But I'm willing to go to hell that they may believe." That's what he said, not about a person he likes, about the Jews that want to kill him in Romans. He said, "Oh, I'm willing to go to hell. If it is possible," he said, but he says, "I know it's an impossibility for me to lose my salvation. But oh, if I am willing to go to hell that my family, the Israelites, all my whole nation that hates my guts, they all want to kill me." Not his immediate family, the nation, not even close to him. "That they may come to know Jesus Christ." When was the last time you did that about your parents, about your brothers, about your sisters? If you have children, or in the future, if you have children. When was the last time your heart was broken? "Break my heart for what breaks yours." Isn't that what we sang in the first song? "Break my heart for what breaks yours." The household of Stephanas, they dear devoted people. They said, "Lord, your ministry is number one, and it's the ministry, it's your ministry, not my ministry, but it's the ministry of the saints. I'm here to serve them. I'm not here to be served." They are true Christ-like, because Christ said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. But look at what happens next, what it says about them in verse 16, "that you also submit to such." And he urged them. He told them about this household of Stephanas. And then I said, I want you to submit to such, to people like that. These people that their life is a devotion to Jesus Christ. When was the last time you submitted to anyone? When was the last time I submitted to anyone? And who was it? I submit to the police. The Bible says so. Sure, and the Bible says so. And then the Bible also says you submit because you see the sword. They got a weapon, they can kill you with it. And it says they don't. It's not there for looks. If you read in Romans, it says that too. It's not there for looks. But when was the last time you submitted to someone spiritual? No, see, I submit when it's, when I like it. When I don't like it, It's a free country. Your opinion is cool, dude. I got my own. You guys remember in the retreat, we talked about one of the things, one of the four proofs that we are filled with the Holy Spirit as well. You guys remember the fourth one? Submit to one another. That is one proof that you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. Submission. Submit. Submit to such. That you also submit to such. So if you feel like you're a one-man, you know, pilot, one-man solo, one-man show, or one-woman show, I want you to, you have no one, you know, in Arabic, it's a literal translation, you have no one, you know, a big person to you. You've got a problem, and I've got a problem. But oh, how amazing when we see people like that, that we come and we say, man, I want to stick to them like glue. I want to see what kind of things, and just so that their devotion may rub off on me. They're themselves appointing themselves to serve the saints. I want to live for others, not live for me. To serve others, not to serve myself. But not just that, he says, and to everyone. Not just to them, but everyone who works and labors with us. And everyone who works and labors with us. That's also who we should submit to. Works and labors. What's the difference? Works is works. We know what works means. You work. Labors is a much, much, much deeper meaning. You know what labors means? It means you toil to the point of exhaustion. You're sweating. You're so tired. You are so exhausted in what? With us. Into the ministry of the saints. When was the last time you did something for the Lord? Not because you had time or it was convenient, but because you have devoted yourself and I have devoted myself to the ministry of the saints and work and toil. It's not easy and it hurts. When was the last time? And he said, with us. Their kind of mindset is the same as Paul's. That's the kind of people that they hang out with. That's the kind of person that led them to Jesus Christ. And man, he rubbed off on them well. That is a good birth in Jesus Christ. He says, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. I have given birth to you. Isn't that what it says in 1 Corinthians 4? He's their father. When was the last time you and I devoted ourselves, appointed ourselves, not waiting for people to ask, but we come and we say, there's a need here. I'd like to do this. I don't want to push anyone aside, but I'd like to do it if I may. When was the last time you and I did it for God's glory, to the ministry of the saints? When was the last time you and I worked and labored with the believers, with those who love the Lord? Then he comes and he talks in verse 17. He says, I am glad about the coming of who? Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. Cool names. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. What happened here? Well, that's why I said, you know, this is a different group of people. That's not the household of Stephanas. Here, Stephanas himself came, and two other people came, Fortunatus and Achaicus. These people came from Corinth as representatives of the Corinthian church to go to Paul. He was in Ephesus at that time. How do we know he was in Ephesus? Well, very easy. I'll prove it to you in verse 8 of the same chapter. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. I'm going to wait here. And as he said this as he was writing it to them. Said, I will tarry in Ephesus. So here he comes. And then the church looked for three people to take as to represent them to go to Paul. Why did they want to send people to Paul? Well, one is to report some problems to him. And two is to get some answers and some help with these problems, some advice. Because, man, he is amazing. He's an amazing man of God. And he has given birth to them. He knows them. They're his children. And so they went. Now, my question is, when they had to choose some people, they chose those three. No one else. These three. If a church was to send you, was to send three people, I wonder if you or I would be one of them as a good representation. You know, when you are going to have send someone to represent you, you're going to be very careful about it, right? When they choose ambassadors to go into other countries, you better choose someone right. You can't choose easy ones. Preached and he said, You know, you're not going to choose an ambassador to go represent the United States and in a foreign country that goes over there and says, "Yeah, what's up, dude?"
"Sir, what are you doing?"
"Just chilling."
That's not a representative. That's not an ambassador of Jesus, of the United States anywhere else. But oh, when they sent three, they sent, and guess who was one of them? And the first name, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. Would you be one of them? Would I be one of them? I wonder. And I really think, if each one of us looks at our lives, we know if we would be one of them or not. And maybe if we are one of them, we would know very well if the church made a good choice or not. Meaning, I would know if they chose me and I think they made a bad choice, a poor choice on their part. Because I know my life doesn't represent Jesus Christ. Ah, Stephanus and his whole household. Not the first one to come to Christ, but even Epaphras, his son, that came to Jesus Christ first, didn't come and said, "Dad, I'm your dad." And Jesus Christ, they submit. That's why he said, submit to such ones, because they're not on a high horse. They're not there giving orders and slapping people around. And so here, and it comes in, "I'm glad about the coming of Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus." And then here the church chose three people, and then Paul's response was, "Good or not? Good choice, guys. You guys chose the best of what you've got." Why? Because he said, "I am glad about the coming." I was so excited when I found out you sent me these three. "I am glad about the coming of Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus." Are believers, strong believers, excited when they meet you? Are they excited when they see me and you or not? He was. He said, "I am glad about the coming of Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. For what was lacking on your part, they supply." For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. Wow. You know, some people try to take it into in a negative way. They say, "Oh, see, these Corinthians didn't treat him right and stuff." Maybe. I don't think Paul is a complainer. And maybe tonight or next Friday, I'll show you why he's not a complainer and what it means and how they really did treat him wrong, but that doesn't affect him. That doesn't hurt his feelings. But here he comes and he says, "What was lacking your part, they supplied." Meaning, you know, I know you guys love me. That's what he's trying to tell them. But I know that, you know, we don't live in 2010. So there's a lot of things you wish you could do to me. There's a lot of expressions you can have toward me, but you can't because of distance barrier. But these guys, I was glad to see them. And what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. Wow. They went there and they had a great deal of problems to share with him. But when he saw them, he was glad. But he wasn't just glad. He said, "They refreshed. They refreshed my spirit and yours." Are you refreshing? You know, refresh. You guys know, they call it refreshment. What is it? Especially, it really makes a lot of sense when you have on a hot day. Imagine if that drink that you really like, you know, like a water, a soda, a juice, smoothie, whatever it is you like, okay? Think of it. Imagine it's really, really hot and you're sweating and you're just like, "Oh, I just want to feel refreshed. I feel icky." And then you want something, and then you go and you get that. I told you guys once, long, long time, many, many years ago, in a retreat, I prayed. And then it taught me a lesson. I went, and we were packing up after the retreat. It was over. It was very far. And I said, after this one load, "Lord, I just, oh, how I long for a cactus cooler." And so I went, and I dropped the load, and then I'm about to go get some money so I can go to the machine and get a cactus cooler. One person came up to me and said, "Hey, Wadia, I got something for you." And then deep inside, I was like, "Nah." And so she came and she gave me it was a cactus cooler. I said, "What?" I said, Lord, I should have asked for something way bigger. I should have said, Lord, I want to, like, tenfold of your goodness. I wish I said for something way bigger than that. A cactus cooler, man, I don't want it. I want you. But oh, how that was double refreshment for me. One is, oh, it's so good on that hot day, sweating, moving up and down, moving the stuff. But oh, that the Lord hears. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us so. The Lord hears us. And he comes and he hears I never said it out loud. He hears the groanings of our heart. And he's even willing to satisfy something as silly as a cactus cooler. Refreshment. You take that first sip and you feel, ah. They refreshed my spirit and yours. You see, there's some people, Christians, believers and non-believers, that love to be in the church circle and attend church. They like to come, and man, when you see them, you're like, it's off. You know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you just feel like, oh man, sorry, Holy Spirit. You feel he's grieved already, you know? Just by the presence of certain people, you feel like there's electricity in the air. It's not, something's not right. I hope none of us here are those kind of people. But there's some people, they walk in, it's neutral. Yeah, cool. There's some people, they walk in, you feel refreshed before they even talk, before they say anything. Just who they are and what they live for. They refreshed my spirit, mine first and yours. These people, that's why he said, you know the household of Stefan. These guys, I don't need to tell you much about them. These people are amazing. And Stephanus here, and he's talking about not just Stephanus, but Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. He says, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Here he comes and he says, these people that are like that, these people that you see them, you go, ah. You already feel filled with the Holy Spirit, and he just works in you just by seeing them. Those kind of people, acknowledge them. It's okay to acknowledge people as long, and we have to be very careful if we ever do this. Acknowledge people in the Lord that live for him, that live a devoted life like this, as long as we are extremely careful that God gets the glory in everything. It's a must that no glory is stolen from the Lord. But acknowledge such people because these guys are amazing. There's so much left in this chapter. I think I'm going to stop here because if I start Aquila and Priscilla, that's going to be a... They're so amazing. Please, I urge you. Every single one here, because every single one here, you're either married or in your heart, you'd like to be married someday. You must come next Friday. Because man, God spoke to me so much about it, about marriage. So amazing, Aquila and Priscilla, and how God uses them for his glory. But we'll end here because I don't want to go over to respect the next meeting. And also, I don't want to rush through it because after Aquila and Priscilla, there's a lot of other stuff full of teaching in the rest of this chapter. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the household of Stephanus. We thank you for people could really live for you in this evil and wicked world and live a life uncompromised, full of your glory, like we've seen in the household of Stephanus. Lord, we pray for our households. We pray for our families, Lord, that we wish to be like the household of Stephanus. There is this harmony that is based in Jesus Christ. A harmony about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and your Spirit is the one working in us. Oh, Lord, how we pray. Lord, if people in our families are not saved, we pray for them. Break our hearts for them, Lord. And let us live an even more diligent life in your acceptance that they may see how amazing you are in our lives. That we may do like what these household of, of Stephanas and Epaminondas, they were the first fruits, and then everyone followed. Let them want to follow into coming to know you as Savior. Lord, help us that our legacy that we would leave behind us, help us that our reputation that we have is that of those who honor you as of the household of Stephanas, Lord. Lord, we pray that you give us dedication for your work and to know that it's not our work, but your work for your glory, and to appoint ourselves and be devoted completely. Lord, help us work, help us labor, help us put effort, not into silly things, but into your ministry, into serving the saints, Lord. Lord, help us that when people see us, and especially when believers see us, they would be glad and they would be refreshed. Lord, help us to be satisfying most of all and first of all to you, and that we would satisfy your heart, that our life would truly be a living sacrifice for you. Lord, help us to stop compromising, to limp between the two roads. It's enough the time we've wasted, Lord. Lord, help us live seriously for you. In Jesus' name we pray.